Does anybody have the score? 10-10? It's 10-10 at halftime. Is that right? Very good. I'm doing good. 17-10, who's winning? Colts. Oh, people, just booing the messenger. Thank you for the score. Who? Do we have any Colts fans here? It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. The Raiders won today. They finally scored a touchdown. Huh? Hard the what? What'd she say? Oh, you're going to get her in the parking lot? What did you say? Oh, yeah, but it depends on what happens at the end. Yeah. Do we have any, is that Timmy Ware? Do we have any people from out of town? Yes, where are you from? Tacoma? Tacoma, Washington? And what are you doing down here? You're visiting your lovely friends. Hello, lovely ones. Hey, who else? On this side. Yes, where are you from? Omaha, Nebraska. Do you live there? Wow. Isn't it, I know you're going to get all these Omaha, Nebraska questions, right? Do you get a lot? What's the most often asked questions have to do with Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom? No? What is the most often asked questions about? The zoo? What zoo? No, but what's the zoo thing? There's a zoo there? No. Is it like famous? Really? I didn't even know there was a zoo there. Isn't it real cold there? They have like lions? Have you ever heard of the Bronx Zoo? You know, it's a trip. You have animals from Africa in the Bronx. In the cold, like lions just sitting there going, you know, because they weren't built for that. Oh, it came on the inside. Man, how that's messed up. It's messed up. Anybody else visiting? Yes. Say that again. Oh, you have elephants in Anchorage, Alaska. Really? Are they outside? You would think with all their fat, they would be okay. But probably not. They got to go inside. But Anchorage, Alaska, how many months of warm weather do you have? Like a week? 5 weeks? 4 or 5 months. That's jacked up. That's real messed up. Anybody else? Yes. Who? El Centro. She's like, you live there? Sorry. It's booming a lot. It's really growing a lot. I've been out there several times. It was like 100 and a lot. My little, you know, little temperature thing on your rearview mirror? It just said, don't get out. It was hot. It did. It said, don't get out. Go back to San Diego. Anybody else? But visitors? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hawaii!
Hey! And where in Hawaii are you from? Oh, okay. Well, you didn't have to say it was my favorite island, and no one would have known. Okay. Does anybody know what they call white people in Hawaii? Does anybody know what Hali means? Huh? Hali means without breath. And here's why. Because in Hawaii, back in the day, when they would greet each other, they would exchange breath from face. And then when the white man came, he shook hands and said, I don't want to get that close because your breath is kicking. And he just, I mean, I don't know why, but that's what happened. So they associated no breath with white, and that's how that happened. So, wow. Just give you a little trivia. You didn't know that, did you? You know where I got my information from? Some people from Hawaii who told me their history. Because check it out. It's true. It's true. It's without breath, yes. That's where the white comes from, you know. Anyway, who else? Yes. Where? Oh, Santa Barbara. Oh, Westmont College. Welcome. Are y'all in college? Did your school almost burn down? That's why you're back. You're running from the fires. Are the fires still burning? Oh, so how come you're down here? Oh, the school's closed. Yes, okay. Okay. Okay, one question, one comment. Did we tell y'all about the parking lot change we were going to do? No? Well, don't worry about it because there is no parking lot change. I will tell you this, though. Be careful. The retail parking, there's places where the retail parks, you don't want to park there because they will tow you. This is what they do. And we've encouraged them, go ahead and tow, because what we don't want to do is have to change all of our parking just because a few people are parking in the wrong spot. And so if they tell you don't park there, please don't park there, because some people flip the bird to the parking people and come to church. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Blankety blank, I'm going to praise the Lord, and then they walk into church. So, just, you know, park where they ask you to park. I appreciate it. Okay, let's see your Bibles. Let's try that one more time. Take a deep breath in. Pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel 11. What happened? Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for church. Thank you so much for Sunday. And we thank you that you love us, and we pray that people who are still turning the pages would find 2 Samuel chapter 11. Amen. About 6 weeks ago, the Dallas Cowboys were playing the Philadelphia Eagles. That's all right, that's all right, that's all right. I understand. Cowboys. And this guy on the Eagles was kind of like a wild personality kind of brother. He was running for a touchdown, 50-yard, 60-yard touchdown, and nobody was around him. And he was running, and right before he crossed the end zone, he spiked the ball. And then he went into the end zone. And they looked on the film, and they marked it at the 2-yard line. And it was real embarrassing. And they got the touchdown, but still, he had a touchdown he threw away. A lot of times when we think our life is doing good, we make dumb mistakes because we feel like we can do anything we want. In this story we're going to read tonight, King David is in his palace. He has the city of David set up. He brought the ark into the city. He's the undisputed heavyweight king of the world. God made a covenant with him that he would always have a son on his throne, and everything's doing good, and then he ends up making a bonehead mistake And from this point on throughout the book, we're going to see all this drama follow him, all this pain. Now, as we continue the series called The Throne, we're comparing David's relationship with the throne, his throne of being king, and our relationship with Jesus Christ sitting on our throne of our heart. And what we're going to see today is David commit adultery. Everyone say adultery. He's going to commit adultery with a woman, and because of his adultery with a woman, his kingdom is going to fall apart to some degree. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, your relationship with Christ is a spiritual relationship, and it's compared to always a marriage relationship. When Old Testament, Israel was the bride of God, and God was the husband. In New Testament, the church is the bride, and Jesus is the husband. And in the Old Testament, as we're in now, God would always reference or describe Israel as a wife or bride whoring after other gods, because his relationship with her was like a man's relationship with his wife. And so when you ask Christ to be your Savior, or however relationship you have with Christ, it is the relationship of a good husband and wife, or a estranged relationship between a husband and wife, because it's a relationship of oneness. And so what we're going to realize is that the mistake David made with this woman is the same type of mistake, and the same rules apply to the kind of spiritual adultery we can commit against God. In other words, you make a relationship, if I make a commitment to my wife to love my wife, and then I go out and try to have those needs met or whatever to another woman, I'm being unfaithful to her. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, you are now, the church is his bride, he's the husband, and then we say, well, you know what, I'm not going to trust God for what God would give me, I'm going to get my needs met somewhere else. Okay, that's spiritual adultery, and that causes the same drama between you and Jesus as it would between a man and his wife and his family and his reputation. Okay, so we're going to look at that. So let's do a little quiz just to get our minds wrapped on the thing. Everyone say David. David. David had an army general named Joab. Say Joab. Joab. Say Joab. Joab. So David's army general was who? Joab. David's army general was who? Joab. Okay, then there was a man named Uriah. Say Uriah. Uriah. Say Uriah. And he had his wife was named who? Everyone say this, Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Say Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Okay, so David had an army general name. Uriah. David had an army general name. Uriah had a wife name. Uriah had a wife name. Bathsheba. And Bathsheba's husband was? Uriah. Bathsheba and Uriah were? Yeah. Bathsheba and Uriah were? Well, okay. Okay, let's read. It happened in the spring of the year, that the time when the kings went out to battle, that David sent Joab. Joab was his army what? Joab was his army what? He sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. Now, in the springtime, they went out to war for several reasons. One, it was warm because they wanted to sleep outside. Two, the roads were clear. And three, the plants were growing so the animals could have stuff to eat and the men would have stuff to eat if some of the other stuff grew as well. So it was a time when they could actually go to battle, and of course through the summer as well. So they're out at battle. And then it says in verse 2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and she was fine. Everyone's saying, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. David sent and inquired about the woman and said, is not that Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. Everyone go, mm-hmm. Okay, so David's in his kingdom. He's got the Ark of the Covenant. He's got his fortress, the city of David. He's got the commitment from God. He's always going to have a son on his throne. Everything's doing good. His men are at battle, at war. He can stay home. He should be with them, but he's staying home. And all of a sudden, he sees this woman, and he wants her. And he brings her to a house, and the Bible says she was cleansed from her impurity. We'll talk about what that means in a minute. But if you look in your notes, there's a verse I put there. It says 1 John 2:15. David is going to commit physical adultery. But his physical adultery and the reasons we commit sin against people is the same principles apply to spiritual adultery is because of our lust. Everyone say lust. Now, lust is not necessarily a desire for sex. Lust is a strong desire to have something that doesn't belong to you. Okay, you could lust money, you could lust power, you could lust for anything. Okay? And there's different lusts we have. As a matter of fact, let's read it. Look what it says. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, one, the lust of the flesh, say lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, say lust of the eyes. And say the pride of life. Those three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, these are at the foundation of our sin. And we're going to see in a minute, when Christ was in the desert being tempted by the devil tempted him in these three areas. And we're going to see that David was tempted in these three areas, and undoubtedly all of us are tempted in these three areas all the time. Number one in your notes, the first thing David did was he forgot that he was human. He forgot he was human. What did I mean by that? Often we forget how evil of things we have the potential of doing. How many of you have ever done something, and while you were doing it, you knew it was wrong, you did it anyway, and then after you did it, you said, how could I have done that? You know what that means? Is that your lust of your flesh, and again, the desires of your physical body, your emotions, your hormones, your ego, whatever, it is contrary to God. And constantly, all the time, it's wanting to do against what God wants you to do. Thinking stuff all the time. Your mind is always thinking, I want to do this, 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 I want that, constantly, constantly, constantly. And if you did everything your mind thought, all y'all would be in jail. Can I get an amen? You'd be in jail. And by the way, some of you might be in jail, but the other of you will be dead. Jail or dead. Because you can't do everything you think. You can't do everything you want. Matter of fact, I would encourage you, for all of you who are not old enough yet, when you get of age to go to a prison, visit a prison. We have a prison ministry. Anytime you want to go, we can take you. And it'll be safe. We guarantee you will go in and come out at some time. Guarantee you will come out. But for reals, my secretary, who is older than me, she goes in and talks to inmates. She gives messages on marriage and divorce. That's her ministry. And these inmates are in there crying. Men. These are not women, by the way. These are men. Donovan State Prison. She's only about this big. She goes in. She gives her message. Criminals. If you go into prison, what you will realize, every single one of you, say everyone. Everyone. Say everybody. All y'all would realize, and I mean 100% of you, would realize that there are people in prison that are just like you. Just like you. They have families like you. Some of them have worse families, some of them have better families. Some of them have worse neighborhoods, some of them have better neighborhoods, but they're just like you. And they had a sinful nature just like you. One of my whole point, and my point is that your sinful nature has evil potential. And you have to guard against what you would do. I have a friend of mine who has a sexual addiction, and when he went through his therapy, his therapist told him, his counselor, whatever the guy's name is, he says, there are certain streets in your neighborhood you can never drive down. When you see that street, you go around, go the long way. But you cannot drive between this block and this block. Why? Because on that block is a massage parlor or a bookstore or a porno, whatever, strip joint, whatever. You cannot drive past it. Why? Because you have a tendency to go in the parking lot, get out, and go inside. Don't put yourself in that position. You have to put your own guidelines around you because your sinful nature has that potential. What we have to realize is that our sinful nature has potential to do things. Now, you may not be an extreme like that in that area, but you have to realize, you have to be aware of what it is you do have, what weaknesses you do have, and guard against them. You have to live your life as though someone very evil is planning to take you down. Why? Because someone very evil is planning to take you down. I don't be in rooms with women alone for nobody other than my wife and my daughters and my mother. But if girls, women come in my doors open, someone's sitting right there. I will not put a woman in my car alone. This is my wife, family. If I see you on the road, hey. I may stop and call somebody or let you get in and I'm going to get out. Why? Because it's not because I don't trust myself, because I can handle that. It's really the appearance or the accusation. And so what you have to do is say, what are the areas in my life? Because my sinful nature, and whether it be me or someone else's sinful nature or someone, a third party sinful nature planet, what do I got to do to protect myself from getting in trouble? Because David is getting ready to do something that is not worth the headache it's going to bring him. And your sinful nature will cause you to do stuff and cause you to want to do stuff that is not worth the drama it's going to cause. When Jesus was in the desert, in the wilderness, he hadn't eaten for 40 days. The Bible says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he was hungry. And then it says the devil came to tempt him. The devil waited for that opportune time, right when he was weak, to tempt him. And what the first thing the devil said, if you are the Lord, turn those stones to bread. Now, here's what he was really saying, the devil. The devil was really saying, I know you're hungry, and I know you have the power to feed yourself. I know you have the power to make anything you want. So why don't you use your power to turn the stones to bread so you can satisfy your own need? Now, listen to how slick the devil is. The devil will tell you, ladies, I know you want a man, and you got that killer figure. Are you following? You know where I'm going with this, right? So why don't you use your swerve and your curve to get that man? What's wrong with it? Go buy them jeans that are three sizes too small and just kind of jump in them. Get someone to hold them out, just jump up through. Wham! Am I making sense to you? Use what you have. Fellas, same thing. Use what you have. Now, is there anything wrong with being wise to use what you have? No, but get God's permission. Get God's permission. Because if you get the guy with the jeans, you're going to have to keep him with the jeans. My point is this, is that you can't always justify what you do because you want to do it, because you feel it, because you think you deserve it, and because you have the ability to get it. It's like saying, I'm mad, and I can beat you up, and no one's going to find out, so I'll just beat you up. You can't live that way. You have to say, Lord, I am going to submit my fleshly desires to you because I know they're devious. And by the way, they're devious. They'll trick you. You'll think you're doing something right, and then come find out it was the most bonehead thing you could have done. God, because you didn't check with God. So David, he forgot. He said, I can do whatever I want. Let's keep reading. I'm number two in your notes. David gave in to his greedy eyes. Greedy eyes. Everyone say greedy eyes. Look what it says in verse 2. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw, everyone say saw, a beautiful woman. And the woman was very beautiful, very, very, very beautiful to behold. First is the lust of the flesh. By the way, the lust of the flesh comes. You could be not looking at anything, not thinking about anything, but your flesh is just talking to you. You want something. The lust of the eyes is when you see something. Now, I've talked many times, very well documented, how I hate shopping. Fellas, any shopper haters? Okay. If I shop, I like to go knowing what I'm going to get and just go and know the store I'm going to find it in. I don't have to go to multiple stores. And I want to be able to go right to one rack and just grab it and pay for it at a short line and walk out. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is how people like me shop. There's no walking around, touching stuff, you know. Ain't none of that. It's like, and I don't like shopping with like people who do all that stuff, who don't walk around, pick stuff, compare, go try it on. Oh my gosh, gotta try it on. It'll fit. I think it'll fit. It kind of, yeah, okay, I got it. Matter of fact, here's a ministry some of y'all can start. It's just a man ministry. Go to the mall and find guys that are with a woman with two bags walking behind the woman like this. And follow that dude around, because he will have a meltdown soon. Just pray for him. Sometimes you see guys, and I see all this everywhere. I see these guys because I'm relating. They're outside the store like this, or sitting on a bench. And so I just kind of, you know, roll over a little bit, real calm, just sit there with him. We just look at each other and go, okay, it's a whole ministry right there. People can get saved left and right. I'm in the mall with my daughter. My daughter's an artsy person. That means she has no concept of time, space, or reality. Kind of just, you know. If you're artsy, that's you. Yes. If you're artsy, your room's probably a mess too. You know art people's rooms are a mess? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to hate on you. That's just, I'm just stereotyping, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. When we realized that's how my daughter was, we stopped asking her to clean her room. We just tell her to close the door. It's fine. So nothing wrong with it. But that's just how, because they think like that. So, I mean, not like, because I have somebody, I can't keep my desk clean. You know, some people, you go in the office and the desk is clean. It makes me sick because it's like, where's the stuff? But anyway, that's a whole other story. I go in the mall with my daughter, and she sees a dress that she wants. It's called Lust of the Eyes. And she starts going, I had to take her outside. What's going to happen is that the devil is going to show you something, and you are going to see it with your eyes. Then your mind is going to create other images that you are going to want to become true. So here's a man married to a woman, and a hooch comes, and he sees the hooch. Her last name is Mama, and he says to her, and her middle name is E, Hooch E Mama, okay? Ladies say, hey, you know what I'm saying? And right in here, there's a lot of that right here. So this guy sees Hooch E Mama, and his eyes see, by the way, his eyes see what she wants to show him. He sees that, and he starts thinking what she wants him to think because she dressed that way. I'm talking about Hoochie Mom, not all women, but this particular woman. And his mind starts to create all these images and videos about what can be reality. It's called I Lust of the Eyes. But it's a lie, because all that he's seeing is not the whole story. When Jesus was in the desert, the devil took him up on the mountain. He said, it showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, Matthew chapter 4. And he says, if you bow down to me, look at all this glory, I'll give it to you. Jesus says, fool, I already own it. I'm God. But what the devil didn't say is, look at all the drama associated with all those kingdoms. Look at all the pain, all the responsibility. The devil's only going to show you the good side, and you're going to think that's all there is, because you're not going to think about it, and you're going to want to believe it, and you're going to dive into whatever the devil shows you of what you see and what you imagine, thinking that that's what it really is, but it's not. And what he's not going to tell you, if you get with Hoochie Mama, he's not going to tell you the drama between you and your wife, you and your kids, you and your boss, you and your neighbors, and he's not going to tell you that you and her won't work out, because just like she's seducing you, she's going to seduce someone else later on too. He ain't going to tell you all that. And so here's David. He sees this, and he says, I want that, but what he doesn't see is the bigger picture, because he was short-sighted. Lust of the eyes. Some of y'all have gotten in trouble because lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. And God is saying, you've damaged my relationship with you, because the devil showed you something and you believed it. You shouldn't have believed it. You should have trusted me. Because I'll tell you, matter of fact, Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, God says, call to me and I will tell you great and mighty things you don't know. If you're ever going to date somebody, if you're ever going to buy a house, buy a car, something, and something that you want, and you just feel like this uncontrollable, it's called lust, but this, I gotta have it, stop. Don't make a decision under those conditions. I gotta. That's That's usually something's wrong with that. And by the way, it's very hard to do. But you need to stop and say, God, what do you want me to do right now? And sometimes he might just say, turn around and walk away. Do like Forrest Gump. Run. Just run. Because once you get all that out of you, then you can think clearly. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Whatever it is. Dress, car, you know, trust me. And for all the people who, I'm not a shopper, so it's not like I see stuff I gotta have. But if you are, how many times have you gotta have something? And you know what? You wore it one time. And it really didn't look good on you anyway. Sometimes it don't. Sometimes it don't. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And you went through all that drama, spent all that money, and it was just a waste. And by the way, if you didn't get it, your life would not be ruined. You'd forget about it, and you move right on. But you have to get away from it. David, lust of the eyes. Number three, David placed himself above the law. In other words, I can do what I want. The pride of life. I am going to do what I want. If you have a relationship with God or want a relationship with God, you can't be led by the lust of your flesh. You can't be led by the lust of your eyes. You can't be led by the pride of your life. You have to be led by God. Those two things do not go together. Look what it says. Verse 4. David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. And she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house. When it says that she was cleansed from her impurity, it means that she had her period before she came to David's house. Because when a woman had a period, she had a period of time, forgive the pun on words, plain words, a period of time where she was in unclean. And then she would, her period would stop, and then she would be clean again. Well, the reason that is in there is to tell us that she wasn't pregnant. Why? Look at the next verse. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, you, my baby daddy. I got a baby. And I wasn't pregnant a few days ago, and my husband's at war, so it wasn't him, it was you. Okay? David commits adultery, gets a girl pregnant, the woman pregnant, and look what he does. He thinks he's above the law because he's going to fix it. How many of you have ever done something, you knew you were doing it wrong, and then once you did it, it messed up and blew up worse than you thought, and then you ended up having to do something even more wrong to try to get out of it? Okay, let me ask that question again, because some of y'all didn't raise your hand, so you must understand the question. Do I need to ask the question again? Now that you've thought about it, anybody? Very good. Yes. More than 100 times. Verse 6, David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah had come to David, David asked him how Joab was doing, how the people were doing, how the war prospered. So here this guy, sleeps with this guy's wife, get his wife pregnant, and he goes, hey, Uriah, how's everything going? How's the war? Everything going good? Hey, how you doing, buddy? Here's what he says. David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. Basically, go down to your house and sleep with your wife. And so Uriah departed from the king's house, and a gift of food followed him. So basically, he got Uriah from the war, because what do you want to do? He wanted Uriah to go home and sleep with his wife, so when he found his wife was pregnant, he figured it was his baby. So he sends him down there, gives him Barry White tape and some candles and some whatever. And how many of y'all do not know who Barry White is, by the way? You don't know who Barry White is? Really? Sing it for you? I don't know. It was a Barry White song. Yeah, I can't sing a Barry White song to him. Barry White actually passed away in the last year, but he was just anyway. It's love music. It's begging music. Do you know what begging music is? Do y'all know what begging music is? Baby, baby, please. That's begging music. Okay. Verse 9. Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and did not go to his house. Uriah's out at battle for however long. He comes back and the king says, go sleep with your wife. And he sleeps at the door. He don't go sleep with his wife. Look what he says. Verse 10, so when he told David, saying, Uriah did not go down to the house, David said to Uriah, did you not come from a journey? Why didn't you go down to your house? And Uriah said, the ark and Israel and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in fields. Shall I then go to my house and eat and drink and lie with my wife? He was a man of honor. David, I can't do that to my men. I can't do that. Look what it says in verse 12. David said to Uriah, wait here today and also tomorrow, and I will let you depart. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And David went and called him, and he ate and drank, and he made him drunk. If I get him drunk, he's going to go down and see his wife. Got him.
Hey, where's my wife?
Okay, I don't know. And at evening, he went out and lay in his bed with the servants of his Lord, but he did not go to his house. That is an honorable man. In the morning, it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him for that he may be struck down and die. Yes, so here's King David. He, all through 1 Samuel, he kills Goliath, and then, you know, all the women sing a song to him, and then he runs from David. Saul's trying to kill him. He's trying to kill him. He's always honoring Saul. Oh, you're my Lord. Why are you trying to kill me? I'm nothing but a flea. And then 1 Samuel, he becomes king. He establishes his city of David. He gets the ark. God tells him he's going to have a son on the throne forever, and everything's going good. All of a sudden, one woman, his lust, causes him to have sex with one woman who he shouldn't have. She gets pregnant, so he commits adultery. Then he commits murder. That's what happened. You could say, I'm just going to do this one thing. I'm just going to do this one thing. Next thing you know, your whole life is jacked up. I can't tell you how many girls have come to me. I'm pregnant, and I don't know what happened. Girl, I can tell you what happened. I can draw you a picture. I know what happened. But you know what they're saying is that, how did this get to you? The devil just started saying, oh, you deserve it. Go ahead. It's no problem. Everyone's doing it. It's going to be okay. And next thing you know, boom. And of course, it's not only relationships. It's everything. Money. It's lying. It's cheating. It's grades. It's schoolwork. It's everything. The devil just lures you in. And then the next thing you know, you're stuck to do some crazy stuff to get out of it. You have to understand God can get you out without doing more sin. He can. He can get you out without. And you may think, how? It doesn't matter. Matter of fact, when I was a youth pastor, I wasn't even a youth pastor. I was having Bible study at my house with these kids 20 years ago. And this girl had not been for several weeks. And I called her up and said, what's up? Where you been? She's like, I have a problem. I says, well, God can't help your problem? She says, not this one. I said, oh, you think you're pregnant? Of course, that's the only thing it's going to be. And she said, how did you know? I said, well, I just guessed. If God can't help you, nobody can help you. Not even running from it can help you. God is the only one that can help you with the things he can help you with. And he can only help you the way he can help you. What you don't want to do is follow David's line of thinking. My lust, my pride is going to dictate my behavior, and I'm going to get myself out of it because I'm smart. You don't want to play that game because that's what prison is full of. People who thought they can get themselves out of it. And by the way, when you go to prison, these people are not dumb. They're not dumb. They got there because that's what happens when you do stuff you shouldn't do. Now, there are some people who didn't get caught, and some of y'all right here could be in prison. Matter of fact, let's take a poll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I didn't even ask the question, but you already know what the question is. You could easily be in prison. Yes, me too. Easily be in prison for stuff we did. Matter of fact, and this is for one of the things I could be in prison for, the two guys I got high with both got arrested. Now, luckily, they didn't go to prison, but they were arrested for doing what we were all three doing. I was next, and then I got saved right in the nick of time. And the guy who was going to arrest me started following me to church, thinking I was doing my bad stuff from church. And of course, that wasn't what was going on. But we all could be in prison, dead, addicted, boom, 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 boom. God can get you out. Matter of fact, next week we're going to have a woman here who was raped by her husband. She has a very fascinating story that I know a lot of you women will relate to leading up to that incident. There's several reasons why we're going to interview her. One is that next week's story is about one of David's sons who rapes one of David's daughters next week. And it's right in the Bible. Number one. Number two, this woman has a ministry here at this church to women who have been sexually assaulted. Okay? Some of y'all in here who have been through that and God has comforted you, some of you are ready to now go encourage somebody else who has been through that. When we were at San Diego State, we had church there 3 years ago. Actually, we had church there from 2000 to 2005. This church started at Montezuma Hall in San Diego State. When I would come out for church, I would stand in the corner of the room, in this little dark corner, waiting to go up on stage. And this girl came to me one day. She was like 20. She was like this tall. And she just said to me, I never met her. I don't remember her name. And she just said to me, I was raped twice, and this church has helped me get through it, and I just want to say thank you. And then she left. And she said, I never told my parents. She left. And I was like, you know, that was it. So the good part is that she was doing better. The bad part is I couldn't do anything to help her anymore. She walked away. And I know there's hundreds of y'all sitting right here right now that you had something like that happen. Well, one, God wants to minister to you, and I hope next week will be an encouragement to you. And he wants to heal you beyond where you could be victorious. This lady's story is going to blow you away. And when you see her, she's one of my heroes because she's like this. She's no joke. And let me rephrase that because you might not know what this means. She is just like, I am going to win. That's what this means to me. And so my point is that the devil wants to destroy you. God wants to deliver you, but you can't live this way. Because what David did, as a matter of fact, in your homework, in your notes, I gave you do something homework. If you read the next chapter, you will see how God judges and punishes David for his sin because this was sin. It was wrong. Okay? Let's keep reading. Verse 23. The messenger said to David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out to us in the field. Then we drove them back as far as the entrance of the gate. The archers shot from the wall at your servants. And some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead. So someone came and told David, David, Uriah is dead. So David committed adultery. Obviously, he lied 50 million ways he lied and deceived through that process. Then he commits murder. God is not happy. God is not happy. You know what's the good thing about when I said a good thing? Why this is in the Bible and why it's good this is in the Bible? Because this story, and many of them like them, prove to you that the Bible wasn't written to make people look good. It was written to tell you the truth. That's not good. How much worse can it get? Imagine if you read in the paper, or her, or whatever, that I cheated on my wife and got a girl pregnant and had her husband killed so I can marry her. Well, one, I'd be in jail. But that's the kind of stuff this brother just did. And look what it says next. Verse 26. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. Yeah, right. She probably went, And when her mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David did had displeased the Lord. What is the point? The point is if you live based on the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life, you will destroy stuff. Remember the Bible says the penalty of sin is death? Sin kills stuff. It kills relationships. It kills people. It kills dreams. It kills opportunities. It kills your relationship with God. And when I say kill, damaged. And so you don't want to live that way. You don't want to be like David where you are doing your stuff because in the end, God will discipline you. Now, here's the good part. God restores people. God forgives people. God fixes stuff. It doesn't mean that you don't pay a price. But the Bible says that God can take your sin and remember it no more and cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Well, when people see you, they're going to realize that you used to do that. It's almost like there's no sign of what you used to do. He can completely change you. And you can completely live a victorious life. But it's up to you. Jesus wants to sit on your throne. But he has to be in charge. He can't play games like this, where I'm on throne, but I'm going to go over here and do this my own thing. No, if Jesus is on the throne, and he is your God, you follow him. And you acknowledge that you have lust in your flesh. We all have it. We all have it. But you acknowledge that. And then you say, okay, God, can you deal with this? Matter of fact, you should talk to God very honestly about your sin. Lord, I have a problem with this. I'm struggling with this. I'm having a problem with this person. Help me. Minister to me. Send someone into my life who can encourage me. When you see this woman next week, there's some of you women out here, and I'm just guessing, who feel like your incident is a black cloud over your life. And it affects every relationship you have with guys, which, by the way, you have to realize that that's normal, that it has an effect, but it doesn't have to ruin your relationship with guys. But you have to understand, recognize that there's an issue. What she's going to show you is that you can be victorious. It doesn't necessarily mean it'll go away and you'll never think about it again, necessarily. But it does mean you can be victorious. It does mean you can, and you need to believe that and pursue that victory versus living under the condemnation that the devil would speak into your head. Remember, the devil's names, he has many names. One of them is destroyer. One of them is liar. And one of them is accuser and tempter. So what he does, the devil does, he'll tempt you to do something. Now we're talking to all of y'all. He'll tempt you to do something, and as soon as you do it, his whole goal is to destroy you. But as soon as you do it, then he's going to accuse you to God and say, look what they did. That's what he does. So you go, I'm doing this. I shouldn't be doing it. He's going, go ahead. I shouldn't be doing this. It's going to be good. And as soon as you do it, he goes, how did you do that? You're a hypocrite. You feel guilty. It's the devil. Same guy talking to you. He's lying to you. You gotta be able to get to a place where, okay, I made a mistake. I messed up. Forgive me. I want to start over. I just want to start over. And God will say, are you sure? Yes. Great. I want to start over too. And he will. He will. Right now. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to grab one of these communion cups. There are two groups of you here today. Some of you are Christians, and you have been committing adultery with God, against God. You have been unfaithful in your relationship. You've been trusting in other things to give you what God wants you to trust him for. You can be committing spiritual adultery, and God don't want you to do it anymore. He wants you to have intimacy with him. Then there's some of you in here who've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You've been just living for yourself, and you see where that's going. Don't think that you could just make good decisions and make your life as good as God can make your life. Don't think you can be good and not be guilty of being a sinner. We're naughty by nature or sin by nature. It's just what you are. Doesn't mean you're doing the worst things you could ever do. It just means that's your nature. We all have it. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was dying for many reasons, but one of them was to show us the penalty that our sin deserves. That's why he was beaten like that. And so you can't be misled to think that your sinfulness doesn't deserve that, because it does. But Jesus says, I'll die in your place. And so we're going to have one prayer, and it's going to be for everybody. Basically, when I say everybody, if you're a Christian and you just want to say, you know what, I haven't been doing the right thing, I really want to be committed, I want you to pray the same prayer. If you're not Christian and you want Christ to forgive you, same prayer. It's basically a prayer of surrender. But what you're telling God is, God, I am guilty. I can't be innocent on my own. You forgive me. Take over my life. And then all the stuff you've ever done, he can deal with that. He died for everything. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your love for us. Dear God, thank you for David's story. Thank you for putting it in the Bible and not holding back the truth. Lord, thank you so much for being good to us, even when we sin so consistently against you. And I pray even now that there are people here who came in here for whatever reason they realize they need to fix their relationship with you. But they can only do that by surrendering to you, because you're the one who fixes it. If you would like to establish a relationship of peace with God, a relationship of forgiveness based on His love for you, based on your dependence on Him, pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I love you. I want to love you better. I've been doing my own thing, but I know I need to depend on you. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please come live in my heart. Please be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender my life to you. All of it. All my sin, all my pride, all my lust. I surrender to you. And I trust that you will be merciful with me. That you will bless me. I have really messed up. But there's no place I can go but to you. So please forgive me. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, God heard you. And He knows you. And He loves you. If you would like to acknowledge your prayer to Him, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and acknowledge that. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. We see you all over the room. Stay standing. Good. We see you. God bless you. There's some guys in here. God is telling you to stand up. He's telling you, you know your sin, I know your sin. Let's deal with it today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. His word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It discerns the thoughts and intents of your heart, knows you. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Good, 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 good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Now, in a minute, we're going to ask all y'all who are standing and anybody else. We're going to ask you in a minute to come down to the altar. If you're in the balcony, all you have to do is turn around and walk up, and the ushers will bring you down. And when you come down, bring your purse, bring your communion cups.